Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our weekly Pirkei Avos class learning. So tonight's year is generously sponsored by a virtual friend of mine. I'm not sure how we came to first learn together. Lior Zamek and I learned together in different venues. And it's a zchus, and with great appreciation that I thank her for her sponsorship of tonight's year. We are learning as a zchus for Refuah Shelema B'soch Sh'ar Cholei Yisrael for Ita Riva Bas Esther, Yehudit Ariel Bas Yocheved, and Tinok Ben Chana. May they all have Refuos, Arichus Yamim Vishanim, and Besoros Tovos, and the Schus of the Torah that we will share together this evening. So I'm going to begin to screen share right away. Let me just find the handout that I prepared for share. It is right here. Could you see it says Pirkei Avos 5:3? Okay, very good. Okay. So the Mishnah tells us, and you know, I was thinking to myself, what are we going to learn this week? Until now, it's been sort of either related to the Parsha or related to Inyanei Diyum of the 3 weeks and Tisha B'Av. So you'll see how I came to this Mishnah and why we're specifically learning it now. Okay. So the Mishnah tells us, and you see it right here on my screen. And Parakeh, you said you could see, Asar Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu Alava Shalom. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests. I'm just opening the sefer that I want. Our forefather Avram was tested with 10 tests. Why? But I'm not why? Why? Because that's the way the Rabbanu Shalom runs the world. But Amad Bekulam, he withstood them all. Lahodia Kamachibaso Shal Avram Avinu Alav Hashem. To let you know the degree, so this is ambiguous. Is it the degree of Avram Avinu's love towards God, or is it the degree of God's love towards Aram? Ultimately, it's really both. Aram Avinu withstood 10 tests because of his great Ahavas Hashem, and Hashem chose Avram as the father of the Umi Yisraelis because of his great love, Kosh Baruch Hu's great love for Aram Avinu, because he withstood his 10 tests, and that's something that we continue in his merit and with his chusim. Kol Mashir La'avosim on the banim, whatever happens to our forefathers is a sign for future generations, and Aram Avinu's ability to withstand his 10 tests gives Doros of Jews in all times the koach to withstand our test. What were the 10 tests? You see that the Mishnah does not tell you. It just says with 10 tests he was tested. So what are the 10 tests? So I only brought you two opinions. I was also going to include Rabbeinu Yonah, but for just tonight's year, and because of the time frame in which we learn, we'll look at the count of the Bar Tanura and the count of the Rambam. Okay, there are other commentators who count a little bit differently. Some of the tests overlap between commentator to commentator. So what were the 10 tests? So we'll start with the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura says, Asar Nisyonos, Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests. What were they? Echad Ur Kastim. Sheishlichu Nimun L'Kivin Shan Ha'ish. So the first test, according to the Bar Tanura, is not listed in the Torah text. This is referenced by Rashi in Parak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chav Ches, in Sefer Bereishis, which is right at the end of Parshas Noach. Rashi tells us the story that Avram denounced his father for having idols, and he smashed all of the idols. His father told on him to Nimrod the king, and Nimrod threw him into the fiery furnace. So according to the Bar Tanura, and he obviously survived because we are here. We all come from Avraham Avinu, and that is counted as test number one. Sheini, the second test, Lachacham Eretzcha, the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, Hashem appeared to Avram when he was 75 years old, and he said, go forth for yourself, from your land, for your birthplace, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. The third test, he gets to the land of Canaan, Vayihi Rav Ba'aretz. There was a famine. I thought you just told me to come here. Not only did you tell me to come, you told me it's going to be good for me. So I come to the land, and you tell me it's going to be good for me, and I finally slap here with my wife, Sarai, and all of our possessions and load, and it's a famine in the land, and I'm starving. What's the bracha here? So the next test was the famine. So what does he do because there's a famine? He goes down to Egypt because they need food. What happens in Egypt? The fourth test, says the Bar Tanura, Vatukacha Isha Beis Paro. Sarai was taken by Pharaoh. What was the fifth test? Moving on to the next parak, parak Yudah. Avram Avinu, who was not a warrior, becomes embroiled in the war of the four kings and the five kings, the first world war, if you will, because Lot, his nephew, is captured, so he goes to battle. Shishi, what was the sixth test? The next parak, parak Tezvav, Bris Ben Abisarim. What did he see in Bris Ben Abisarim? The covenant between the pieces. He cut the pieces in half, and a deep darkness fell upon him. And there was like a smoking furnace and a bird of prey came down. But really, what was the test here? Sheher Ehu Shibun Malchus, that Avraham Avinu saw a vision of our enslavement. He saw us today in this terrible galus. That is, Rachman al-Tzlan, a terrible test for a parent to see their descendants suffering under the enslavement of foreign kingdoms. What was the seventh test? Moving on to Perek Yitzayin, Bris Mila. He was 99 years old. The whole world laughed at him. No one had ever heard of this before. In the middle of that very day, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Nimal Avram. Avram does a Bris Mila. Shmini. What's the next test? Moving on, Perek Chav. Avram takes Sarah. She's been taken twice. Ninth test. Send away Hagar and Yishmael. 10th test, Akedas Yitzchak. So you see that the final two tests have to do with the sending away of his own progeny. The first one, sending away Hagar and Yishmael. And the 10th test was taking Yitzchak as an Akedah. Ultimately, Yitzchak was not Shechted. But at the time that Avram went to do the Akedah, he did not know he was not going to be Shechted. He believed he was going. He was going to be an Ola. An Ola is totally burnt, sacrificed to God. According to the Rambam, Maimonides, in his commentary to the Mishnah, the 10 tests are of a little bit of a different count. Actually, I want to put this down here. Okay, so according to the Rambam, the tests are a little bit different. The Rambam says, Hayud nisyonos shenisnasa Avram Avinu kulam dibir hakasov. In regard to the 10 tests that Avram was tested, the Torah tells you what all of the 10 tests are. That's unlike the Bartanura, by the way. The Bartanura counts the first test as Ur Kasdim, that Nimrod threw him into the fiery furnace. And if you remember from a few minutes ago, I told you that's not listed in the Torah text. The first test in the Torah text is Lachacha me'artzacha mimoladetcha mebesavicha ala aretz asher areka. One second, I didn't see something. I don't see my mother-in-law this evening because I realized that I forgot to say Brucha Haba'ah, but I don't see her. Okay, so Brucha Haba'ah to all of you, or Bruchot Haba'ot. So the Rambam says, Kulam Dibar Kasov. The Torah enumerates, the Torah speaks about all of them. So what are they? Ha'alef, Hagerus, Ba'amro, Yisparach, Lachacha, Me'artzacha. So the Bartanura counts this as number two. The Rambam counts it as number one. Again, I told you, the commentators vary. I really had Rabbeinu Yonah in the handout, and then I took it off. If anyone's interested in looking it up, or maybe we'll get to it at a different time, we could look at that as well. So Rambam says the first test was from Yisparach, the blessed Ban Bihi, leave your land, Habez Hara of Asher Nimtza Be'eretz Kanan, Bivosham. The second test, according to the Rambam, is that when he gets there, there's a famine in the land of Canaan. V'hu ye ado va'ascha l'goy gadol. And God testified, I will make you into a great nation. V'zen yisayon gadol. V'hu amar v'yihi rabaretz. The Rambam says we don't often think of the famine in the land as a big test. The Rambam says it was a very big test. God's words contradicted the reality of Eretz Yisrael. If someone tells you something's going to be wonderful for you, and I will make you into a great nation, and all the nations of the world will be blessed for you, and everybody will know your name, and then you get to this promised land, pun intended, and they're starving in the streets. So what are you going to eat? You know, it's very interesting. I'm just coming. We have company. They're still here. I said I have to leave. From Eretz Yisrael for dinner, very long time family friends. So the family matriarch is her uncle, you know, the famous Dr. Nachum Cook. You know the famous story, it's brought down in Tzaddik in Our Time, of Aryeh Levine. He went to a doctor with his wife, and the doctor said, "Why are you here? What hurts?" And of Aryeh Levine, that's all the Tzaddik in Yerushalayim said, "Our foot hurts." You know that famous story? It's brought down by Simcha Raz in the Tzaddik in Our Time about Rav Aryeh Levine. It's Feldheim. If you didn't read it, you should read it. Her uncle, our longtime family friend, was Dr. Nachum Cook. Her grandfather was a Rav Cook, and her great uncle was Rav Avraham Yitzchak Kohen Cook Zatzal. She was born in the land. Her mother came from Lita, she said, in 1925, to Eretz Yisrael. So the family's been there for a long time. She comes from very chashuv. But anyway, the conversation moved to Shemitah. So we are saying that next year's the Shemitah year. So she's, and my daughter's going to be in seminary. When I was in seminary, I was a bas bias by this family. So she said they eat Heter Mechira. She said, not everyone eats Heter Mechira. And she said, who do they come from? Rav Cook. Who is the biggest proponent of Heter Mechira? Rav Cook. That's her direct lineage. It's not so far. Her uncle was Dr. Nachum Cook, her mother's brother, the famous doctor of the old Yishuv. Her grandfather was a Rav Cook, whose brother was Rav Avraham Yitzchak a Kohen Cook. So her family is Hatzer Mechira. That's their Mesorah. And I explained to my daughter that this has something to do with Vayhi Rab Baretz. That in the time of the old Yishuv, even once the state was established, they were literally starving. It's not like Eretz Yisrael, like we know Eretz Yisrael today. There were no options. If you read any books about the history of the state of Israel, there was swamps, there was malaria, there was mosquitoes, there were sand dunes in Tel Aviv. They had nothing to eat. So they came. I'm not saying what I do or what I don't do. I live in Chutz Laaretz. If I was going there, I would follow my own Das Torah. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm stating facts. Rav Cook felt and said that Hatzer Mechir was absolutely permissible. The people were going to starve otherwise. So I explained to my dad, they literally had nothing to eat. There were no options. So the Rambam says, and we in our generation do not understand this Nisan, and Baruch Hashem, in the times we live, we have no conception of what this means. Thank God. V'zeh Nisayin Gadol. The Rambam says it's a tremendous Nisayin to get to the land and there is literally nothing to eat. Besides for the Arabs and besides for the malaria and besides for the disease, the people in the Old Yishuv, you read, Rav Steinman slept on the same mattress that the Jewish agency gave him when he came after the Holocaust for the next 50 years. The state was so poor, and even before the state in the 20s or 30s, there was nothing. V'zeh Nisayin Gadol. It's a tremendous Nisayin to get to Eretz Yisrael, which is supposed to be the mamish promised land, not the golden Medina of Chutzlar. It's the real promised land. And I'm starving. It's a huge Nisayon, says the Rav. Says the Rambam about Avram Avinu. Next, Gimel. Chamas HaMitzrim Alav Behilakach Sara Leparo. So far the Nisyonos are the same according to the Bar Tanura and the Rambam, except that the Rambam has not counted Kivshan Ish, which means he's going to have to make up for it. Okay, so Sar was taken. The fourth, Hilchamu Bidalad Mlachim, he was involved, embroiled in the First World War. Hahei, Lachu Hagar Leisha. Acher sheno aish meholid meisara. The Bar Tanura does not say this. According to the Rambam, the fifth test was that he had to marry Hagar. After he had Yeush, he despaired of ever having and bearing children with Sarah. So when we look in the Pshat, it doesn't seem like a Nisayin for Avraham Avinu, but the Rambam says that this was a very big Nisayin that he had to marry Hagar. The sixth, Bris Milah, that Hashem commanded him in his old age. The seventh, Sarah was taken by the king of Gerar, who was Avimelech. Eight, send away Hagar, after who banasomi mena, from the word like livnot, to send her away. It's one thing, it was an Nisayin to take her in the first place, but now she had a child with me. Now you're telling me to send away the very woman you told me to take? Kol sher tamar lecha sar shma bekola. Everything she tells you, this in turn, now you tell me to send her away. So what am I doing? She told me to take Hagar, so I took Hagar. Now I had a child with Hagar. Now you tell me to send her away? And I should listen also? I don't know what's going on. Tess. Haruchaka b'no Yishmael, v'hu amr yisparach al yireh b'einech al hanar, like the Bar Tanura says, that he had to distance, he had to send away Yishmael. And God said, it shouldn't be bad. And the Torah already tells us it was very hard in his eyes to do this thing. Hayak kasha be'enav hadavar hazeh. It was hard to send away his own son Yishmael. Like the Pasuk says, vayere hadavar me'ol be'enei Avram. It was very bad in the eyes of Avram. But shashamar mitzvah Hashem misbarach v'garsham. Hashem told him, and he didn't understand, but he guarded the mitzvahs of Hashem, and he sent away Hagar and Yishmael. And the tenth test was Akedas Yitzchak. So the difference between the Bar Tanura and the Rambam is that the Bar Tanura says, test number one was Kivshan Ha'ish. The Rambam says all the tests are in the Torah text. Kulam Dibir HaKasuv. The Torah speaks about all of them. He does not count Kivshan Ha'ish. As number five, he counts the fact that he had to take Hagar as a wife after he had a sense of Yeush, or despair, of ever having children with Sarah. Before we go on, I want to show you a Gemara that relates to the life of Avram, since we're talking here about the life of Avram Avinu. You're going to keep this Gemara in mind, and then we are going to come back to it. Okay. Maseches Brachos Chaf Vav Amid Beis, which you see next on my screen. Yes, you see it here on my screen? Okay. Sorry, I know I'm really neurotic, but in the beginning of Zoom, I once made a mistake and no one could see, but it just happened 2 weeks ago that I had the wrong screen, the wrong handout on screen, and I didn't realize, and it was up the wrong printout the whole shear. So I want to make sure you have the right shear in front of you. The Gemara tells us that the forefathers established the daily prayers. I'm sure that we are all aware of this. Avram established the morning prayer. It doesn't mean he picked up the sitter and said Yishtabach and Baruch Sh'amar, not in that order like we do. He established the institution of when a Jew wakes up in the morning, he acknowledges, gives thanks, and beseeches the Creator. Yitzchak established the Mincha prayer. Vayitzi Yitzchak lasuach basada lifnot erev. Aisa Aina Vayar Vahine Hagmalim Baim 2463 Chaf Dal Samach Gimel. What is Lasuach Basada? So both Rashi and Targum Unkla say that it's Alashon Tfilah. He went out to pray, so Yitzchak established Mincha. And finally, Parak Chav Ches, Pasuk Yod Aleph, I believe, Parashas Vayetze Yaakov Mibir Shava, Vayelech Harana, that's Pasuk Yod. Pasuk Yod Aleph, Parak Chav Ches, Vayivka Bamakom, Vayalan Sham, Kibah HaShemesh. What did he do? The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Chav Vav Amibes, Yaakov Davin Arvis. I didn't put those on the screen because tonight we're talking about Avraham Avinu. So, if Yitzchak did Mincha, and Yaakov did Mariv, and there's by process of elimination, one patriarch and one daily prayer left. So the Gemara says, Beferish, and Brachos Chavav Amad Beis, Avram Tikein Tfilah Shachris. Avram established the morning prayer, Shenemar, what's the source? This is from Bereshis 19:27, Yud Tes Chav Zayin, Vayashgim Avram Baboker, El Hamakom Asher Majam. That's proof that Avram established the morning prayers, that the Pasuk says in Yud Tes Chav Zayin, Avram woke up in the morning to the place where he had stood. So you might think the Gemara Darshins that he established the morning prayer because it says Vayashgim Avram Baboker. He woke up early in the morning. So what does that teach us? You should wake up early in the morning and you should daven. Or you might think that the Gemara Darshins, he established Tfilah Shachris from the word makom, because makom is not just a place, makom is Hashem. You woke up early to stand before makom. No, the Gemara says, you know what word in this pasuk teaches you that Avram established the morning prayer? Amad. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Avram woke up early in the morning. Doesn't teach you he daven shachris, because by the way, this phrase is used three times in the life of Avraham Avinu. One time when he had to send away Hagar and Ishmael, one time by Akedas Yitzchak, and one time in Perek Yitas, Pasuk of Zayin. So the Gemara says that's not how you know he daven Shachris. And it's not because it says Hamakom, because also by the Akedah it says Vayar as Hamakom Meirachok. What in this Pasuk teaches me that Avram daven Shachris, Asher Amad Sham, he stood. Now what do Chazal call what we call the Shmona Esrei? What is the term used for what we call the Shmona Esrei? It's not called Shmona Esrei, what's it called? The Amida. Okay, the Amida. Why? Because you are standing before God. Who established the institution of the first prayer of the day to stand before God? Avraham Avinu. That's what the Gemara says. Ve'ein Amida ela tefillah. The proof that Avram established the morning prayer in this pasuk, this is, by the way, in the context of his davening for Sodom and Amor to be spared. Ultimately, they were not spared. Ein Amida ela tefillah. The Gemara tells you, we know that he established the morning prayer because it says he stood. And Amida is tefillah. How do you know? Pasuk from Tehillim, Kuf Vav, chapter 106, that goes through all the sins of the Jews in the desert. Vayamod Pinchas vayipalel. Pinchas stood. This is when he killed Zimri and Cosby. Vayifalel, he rendered judgment. But vayifalel is also the root word for, of course, tefillah. So here you have Amidah in juxtaposition to tefillah. So the Gemara uses this pasuk from Perak Kuf Vav of Tehillim to tell you that Avram established the morning prayer. Ein Amidah ela lashon tefillah. How do I know? Look at Kuf Vav Tehillim. Vayamud Pinchas. Why did he stand? Vayipalel, for the purpose of carrying out judgment against Zimri and Cosby. Vayipalel is also the root word of tefillah. Okay. So I want to talk about tefillah. And the reason I decided to present this Mishnah is because this week's parsha is Ve'eschanan. And in Ve'eschanan, the whole parsha begins with Moshe's prayers. Ve'eschanan el Hashem, okay, Devarim. It just says D-E-U-T for brevity in my notes. It's less typing for me. Okay, it means Devarim. Devarim Perek Gimel Pasuk Chaf Gimel is the first pasuk in the parsha. And how does it begin? Year 40, Moshe's not going in, they're going in, he's staying on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and he wants so badly to go in. V'aschanan el Hashem ba'eis ha'yileimor. I implored, I entreated, I begged, I asked for matnas chinam, says Rashi. V'atchanan, from the word matnat chinam, matnas chinam, give me a free present. I may not deserve it, but give it to me anyway. I used up all my stars on the chart, but please, God, be compassionate. I just want it anyway. What exactly Moshe's sin was, Tonight we're talking about tefillah. V'ashchanan al Hashem ba'isa hilimur. I implored, I entreated, I request, I beseeched God at that time, saying, what does Moshe say next? Ataha chilosi laharoses avdecha es yadcha es Yadcha Gadol, I don't remember the exact Lashon, in Lashon HaTorah, you began to show your servant your great hand and all your wonders. Asher mi al b'shamayim b'v'aretz, asher yaseh k'masecha k'v'rasecha. There's no power like you. Moshe praises God. And then he requests, what's his request? Can I go into Eretz Yisrael? Talking about Eretz Yisrael, we were just talking about Eretz Yisrael. Abrana, he wants what was granted to Avraham Avinu, even if there's not food, and even if we have a shayla of heter mechira, and even if the Canaanites are in the land, I still want to go, and said Moshe, Abrana, what do I want to do? Ve'ara es eretz hatova hazos. Ahar hatova zeh v'halavonan. Moshe says, please let me go in. Rashi says he asked to see Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Of course Hashem said no. The Baal Tur, I don't mean it like that to sound so flippant. I just mean, we all know the end of the story. Shem said no. V'ashchanan, so the Baal term says, B'gematria, beautiful Baal term. Look at this. V'ashchanan and gematria shira. Song. Sha'amar lefan of shira, k'dei shishma tfilaso. Moshe Rabbeinu said before Hashem songs, so that his tefillah would be listened to. It's really interesting. On my fast walk this morning, I was listening to a shir by Rabbi Saria Malitsky of New Jersey, on Mizmor LaSoda. And it's so interesting, the Shulchan Aruch codifies that you're supposed to actually sing, S-I-N-G, when you say Mizmor LaSoda. So the latter modern-day poskim, if you will, debate if we're actually supposed to sing when we say Mizmor LaSoda or not. But this is really interesting. I was just listening to the shir this morning. So this is very interesting. Sha'amar lefan of shira k'dei she'ishma tefillah. So Moshe knows that there's a special impact. When you sing a shira, your neshama is really moved. Miriam Goodman, you were just telling me this about the songs that they were singing for Mashiach on Leil Tisha B'Av, and you said everyone in the room was crying because Shira moves us in a way that plain words do not. So the Baal term says when Moshe Davin, he was involved in Shira. Sha'amar lefan of Shira k'dei she'ishma tefilaso. Furthermore, it says Hashem Elokeichem. The last words in Parshas Devarim say Hashem Elokeichem. The first word in our Parsha says Ve'eschanan. To teach you, why does it say Hashem Elokeichem Ve'eschanan? Hashem, your God, I implored to teach you Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samir. It's Tehillim 16:8. Hashem should be before you always. That's what the Baal term says. I think it's so beautiful that he adds this dimension that Moshe davened in the song. The Das HaKeinim says Shiva Shemos Nikru L'Tfila. Tfila is called by seven names. Ve'elu hein. Tefila, Techina, Tza'aka. Tefila is what we call prayer. Techina, Techina Zubakashos, entreating, Tza'aka, calling out. Ze'aka, it's very hard to translate these into English. Screaming out. Nefila, falling down. Pigia, I already quoted Pigia because of Yaakov Avinu. Bereishis 28:11. Vayifka b'makom, encountering. Rina, song. These are the seven terms of prayer. Here they are. I probably didn't do such a good job translating them into English. Obviously, we're aware that Torah is not really meant to be learned in English, even though Be'er Heitev, Moshe taught us in 70 languages, but Lamaisa, it loses some of its effect when you translate it, but I'm doing the best I can. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm trying. Techina, tza'aka, za'aka, nefila, pegi, and rina. Ubekula nohit pala Moshe, ala bitechina. Which mode of prayer did Moses use to get his request put forward before God? Not za'aka, says the Das HaKeinim, not za'aka, not nefila, not pegia, not rina, techina. Lama, lefisha bisha, bisha'ash, amr Moshe fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hodieni nas drachecha, because when Moshe said to God in the aftermath of the sin of the golden calf, God, let me know your ways, let me understand you. Be'ezu mita ata manhig esolamecha, Hashem, I don't understand you. Which mida, which character trait do you use to run the world, so to speak? Va'amr lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, v'chanosi asher achan, I will show compassion, I will show favor to those that I favor. So Hashem is answering that I run the world with the midah of chinun, favor, not really compassion, favor, like from the word chain. To those who find chain in my eyes, I will find chain towards them. Klomar, koma shani osai mehem, matnas chinam. Hashem said you should know that chinun is also the root word of matnas chinam, for free. Everything I do with people in this world, Hashem says, really matnas chinam. It means we don't deserve anything. Everything God gives us is over what we deserve. I'll two quote, two totally different, one teacher and one gadol, who taught this idea. And I've quoted it before. Nechama Labovitch, Allah Hashem, used to say, people say, magia li, lo magia lechem klum. People say, I deserve. She married her uncle. They never had children. She was a great Torah scholar and a female teacher in Israel with her Gil Yonot that went across the country. She says, people think, magia li, lo magia lechem klum. I deserve. God, I deserve. What do you deserve? Whatever you have is a gift. Rav Freifeld, Zecher Tzadik Kol Shlevracha, would also teach the same. People think I deserve. We don't deserve. Hashem said, everything I give is ma'anas chinam. Whatever we have in our lives, from the ability to move your fingers. You know when we appreciate the ability to move our fingers? If Chas Shalom, you can't move your finger, you realize, what a nice it is that I could just move my fingers. Never mind the clothing on our backs and the roof over our head and the food in our fridges. We are not living in the old yeshuv where we're starving. We're in Galus, Rachman Alitzan. We're in Chutz Arts. But we understand, or do we understand, the boundless gifts of God. Anino saying to them, everything I give is a free gift, said Hashem. Amar lo Moshe, but also midah shamarta li hitnahig, vatein li b'mat neschinim. So Moshe said, I remember by Chayda Ego 38 and a half years ago, you told me you would run the world with mat neschinim. That you're so generous that even if we don't deserve, you give. So that's why I'm going to come to you. Even if I don't deserve, because I'm May Meriva, I'm still asking to allow me into Eretz Yisrael. She'evor es hayarden, please let me cross for free. I know I don't deserve it, but you told me you run the world with manas chinam. So that's how I'm coming to you. The etchanan, I want that free gift. I know lo magili, said Moshe. It's true, lo magili. Give it to me anyway. Lakach amar ve'etchanan. And that's why he uses this lashon, v'chanosi, Hashem will be compassionate and grant as a free gift, even to those who are undeserving. Davar Acher, and this is a very famous gematria of Ve'eschanan that the Das Kedim now quotes. I'm sure you're all familiar with this, that he davened 515 tefilos, which is the gematria of Ve'eschanan. I want to go to a piece by Reb Soloveitchik with you, a very powerful piece on prayer. I just want to see something. Okay. Unbelievable piece. It's right here. Could you see we're in a different piece? It says prayer, petition, and crisis. This is from the Sefer of Rav Soloveitchik called Worship of the Heart. The reason I'm putting it on the screen is because it's very deep and profound, and you need to, I think, visualize the text in addition to listening to be able to understand the depth and the power of this piece. Out of the depths. So we saw the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. We saw that Avraham Avinu, the same Avraham Avinu who went through one test after another, established the morning prayer. We explored two of the commentators in regard to Moshe's tefillah. Out of the depths in which the individual finds himself, Mima Amakim, one calls upon God in seclusion and loneliness. When you're going through a nisayon, you're secluded. You could be in a room with a lot of people, but you're still lonely. It's you and God. The existential, passional experience is not shared by the thou. You do not share my experience. You do not share the passion of my crisis. You do not share the depths of my loneliness. However close he is to the I, since it is an integral part of the existential awareness. Existentially, it's very close to me. The singular I, and hence inexpressible in universal terms, through which we communicate our standardized experiences. And the pages right before this, the Rav is talking about the aspect of communal suffering. Standardized experiences. We all have standard nisyonos. So if there is chas v'shalom, a starvation in the Old Yishuv, or starvation in the land of Canaan, if there is, chas v'shalom, God forbid, a war, if there is, God forbid, the COVID pandemic, that's a standardized experience. We all experience the pandemic. I know within the pandemic there's different experiences, but lamaisa, it affects everybody. Then there is the individual experience. Your own nisyonos. My own nisyonos. And through which I find my I, not the thou. You are not with me in my seclusion and my loneliness. Whew! I don't know how to underline when I'm sharing a PDF, but look at the sentence. No one but the sufferer himself. is involved in this deeply human anguish and conflict. I know, I quote Rav Soloveitchik a lot of my teachings if you learn with me through the week. Something about his writings, teachings, speak to me in such a visceral, profound, expressive way. I then said to my husband, I'm like a Talmud of the Rav. My husband said, Micha, don't really tell that to his Talmudim. No one but the sufferer himself is involved in this deeply human anguish and conflict. You could tell people about your experience. You could ask them to daven for you. No one but you knows about that human anguish and conflict that you are facing. It is the sufferer whose awareness oscillates between bliss and pain. Sometimes you feel bliss, and then you oscillate back to pain. In the great negation of the finite that rises out of its confrontation by the infinite. We have a confrontation. We are finite. We are fleeting. We are mortal. God is infinite. And we confront infinity as finite beings. Neither. It's so powerful. Neither spouse nor child nor parent. You think my spouse could understand me, my child could understand me, my parent could understand me. No. You are an individual who confronts the I when you are in an existential crisis. And people can empathize with you, but no one can feel how you feel. Neither spouse nor child, no parent may understand and sympathize with the lonely individual when his existential experience is at a low ebb. When trials, doubts, and inhibitions abound. People could help you. They could hold your hand. They could drive you. They could cook for you. They could daven for you. They can't feel what you feel. Not your spouse, child, or parent. They can't understand you. You are a lonely individual. When your existential experience is at a low ebb. When you are facing trials. Ba'asar nisyonus nisnasa avram avinu alav hasham. When there are doubts, after the Akedah, the Medrash says, Parshas Vayera, Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Nun Vav, Hashem said, Avraham Avinu said to God, I don't understand you, Hashem. Yesterday you told me, through Yitzchak my offspring will be. The next day you told me, Shecht your son. Hayali Mala Shiva, I had a lot of questions for you, God. Aloha Sisi, can I held my mouth, but I didn't understand. You have doubts. We have inhibitions. When you feel that way in the middle of your Nisayon, it's you and God. That's it. Doesn't matter how close that other person to you is. They're not you. They can't feel like you. They could be facing the same Nisayon and you still feel differently. The prayer echoing the depth crisis of a questing soul. Now he moves to tefillah. The tefillah that echoes from the questing, searching, questioning soul emerges from seclusion. It is a prayer of a lonely person, all alone, from out of the loneliness of the individual who everybody except for God has abandoned. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You know, the Rav says, when he reads in Parshas Baal Oscha, Moshe says to Yisro, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. No simanachnu al amakom asher amar Hashem oso etein lechem lechai itanu ve'yitavnu lach. Moshe says to Yisro, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says, in 3 days, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. Rav says, when I read these psukim, I want to cry. Moshe thought he was going into Eretz Yisrael. And Michal Haaretz reads this pishu and to cry. Not from sadness, but from the passion and emotion and truism and depth of these words. When you are in a depth crisis and you encounter your I, and you are a questing soul in seclusion, that prayer echoes out of loneliness, out of you as an individual whom everybody, save for God, has abandoned. And he quotes from Kapitel Chav Zayin of Tefillin, we're going to be saying it very soon, of his Eloba, 2 weeks, we come to Ella. Ki avi v'imi azavuni. Hashem, Ya'asvini. when even your father and your mother don't understand you, God will protect you. The psalmist, King David, speaks of such suffering, the situation of the afflicted person. He is overwhelmed by his pain, and he pours out his complaint before the Lord. Oh my gosh. It's an unbelievable peace. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests, and he withstood them all. And one of them was, you and Sarah can't have children. He had Yeush, says the Rambam. He married Hagar, and God tells him, send away this woman. And despite it all, he was able to wake up in the morning and daven tefillah shachris. Despite all of those 10 tests, another person would have left God. Because nothing Hashem said made any sense. Go to the land, it'll be good for you. There's a famine in the land. Okay, it doesn't really make sense, but fine. I'll bless you and increase you in the land. My wife, Sarah, can't have children. Take Hagar, send Hagar away. Okay, what's going on here? You will have Yitzchak, Shech Yitzchak. Hashem, Hayali, Male, Hashiv. I had good questions for you. But the same Avram Avinu, when trials, doubts, and inhibitions abound, was able to stand up in the morning and say, Moda Ani. A baruch she'amar, a mizmar l'soda. And Moshe Rabbeinu, did he have an easy 40 years of leadership? The people were so cooperative. And at the end of his life, when he knows there's not much chance of getting in, nevertheless, he's able to wake up and sing to God. I know I don't deserve it, but you're so great, I ask for free. No one can understand me. Miriam has died, Aaron has died, I had to divorce my wife, my children, I'm not able to be their father because of my responsibility to the klal. This second generation is all going in. It's me and you, God. And he was able to stand up and nevertheless sing Rina to Hashem. So now I want to share a chiddush. And this one short insight as the impetus for the entire shiur. It's so tremendous. I'm going back to screen sharing. Where's my handout? See my handout? Okay, remember this Gemara? Brachos Chaf Vav Amad Beis Avram Tikein Tefillah Shachrish Anemar Vayashkim Avram Bebokra El Makom Asher Matcham As Pnei Hashem is the end of the Pasuk. We don't learn that Avram Davin because it says Vayashkim Avram Baboker. We don't learn that Avram Davin because he uses the word Hamakom. We learn that Avram Davin because it says Amad. And Amida is Tefillah. So I was listening to a shir yesterday by Rabbi Zavlev Shlita. I picked three shorter shirim because I couldn't find one long enough for my fast luck. And one of them just said Pirkei Avos Pirkei. So I chose it. We went through the first Mishnah, the second Mishnah, the third Mishnah, fourth Mishnah. And the whole shiur was about 20 minutes. One line. One teeny insight. It's such a powerful chiddush. I forget who he quoted. He was quoting many sources. Ready? After everything we've learned, and that piece of the Rav, which just, if it doesn't speak to your neshama, I don't know. And after everything we've spoken about, we've seen the Bar Tanura, the Ram, and we saw the Baal Term, the Gemara. Das Kenim, we spoke about Hatter Mechira, Rav Kook's family. Ready? I'm so excited. It's such a chiddush. It's so geshmak. It's so powerful. Asar Nisyonus Nisnasa Avram Avinu Alav Hashem. Avram was tested with 10 tests. We saw the Bar Tanura says, we saw the Ramam. The Amad Bekulam. He withstood them all. Lodiya Kamachi Basus Avram Avinu Alav Hashem. The Amad Bekulam, Ein Amida Ela Lashon Tfila. You know how he got through his 10 tests, says Rabbi Zavlev, because it really didn't make sense. And you're making me a little crazy, God, because everything's contradictory. You know how he got through? Amad Bekulam. He prayed his way through his Nisyonos. At every Snisayim, with every trial, every step of the way, it doesn't make sense. I'm tested with 10 tests, and they were significant. Vayi Rab Arts was a major test, says the Rambam. We tend to overlook that one. Akeda, I understand, is pretty big. You know, going to war when you're a Talmud Chacham, I understand it's pretty big. Rab Arts, we skip over. No, says the Rambam, it was a huge Nisayon. We have to have Hetzer Mechira, said Rav Kook, because otherwise people are going to die. We don't understand what that means. Basar Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu Lavasham. I want you to, I'm posting the share, I want you to go share it. This is one of the most powerful insights on this Mishnah that I ever heard. You know how he got through his TED test, the Amad Bekulam. What's Amad? Amida. What's Amida? Tefillah. You know why you survived his 10 tests? Because he prayed his way through his nisyonos. Even when life doesn't make much sense to us, even when you're that individual in the depths of an existential crisis, even when your father and your mother have abandoned you, prayer emerges as the echo of the soul before the Ribono Shel Olam. Asar nisyonos, nisnasa Avram Avinu lav hasham, the amad bekulam. Yeah, Malki Sultan, isn't it geschmack? I don't know. I've taught so many shirim this week. Baruch Hashem, I have one more tomorrow morning. Really, they don't even all go on my Torah. So many can I know. Many don't go on my Torah. This insight is incredible. You know how you make your way through the Unisonis, and it might not make sense. Didn't make sense to Avram Sabin, but he just did it. Like the Rambam says, he listened to the voice of Hashem, even though it was very hard for him. Because he remained a prayerful person. Mima amakim. When I'm so down low, when I'm at a low ebb, when I'm a solitary, lonely individual, and my mother and father, my spouse and my children can't even understand my pain, I will pray to you, Hashem. And with those tefilos, ein amida ela lashon tefilah, I will emerge victorious with my emuna intact, and I will conquer my own nisyonos. So, I don't know. The shir is a gift. It's a matana from Hashem. One insight of Rabbi Lef led to all the other insights. And I just think it's incredible chizuk for all of us as we face world and national nisyonos and individual nisyonos. We can all go in the way of Avraham Avinu and daven our way through life to maintain our kesher with the Ribono Shel Olam. On that note, we should daven that this year should be a zchus refuah shalema for Ita Riva Bas Esther, Yehudit Ariel Bas Yocheved, and Tinok Ben Chana Besoch Sh'ar Chaleh. So I must say that we do need sponsors for August. Only one date in August is taken. I believe it's August 12th. That is booked. There are only a few shirim left before Yantif. So if you benefit and enjoy and you haven't had a turn yet, if you would like to sponsor this shir, please reach out to us. It's true for online listeners. August 12th is an online listener. We appreciate all current, future, and past sponsors very much for the Arbatzos HaTorah. I wish you a wonderful, meaningful, uplifting Shabbos. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov.